You're tuned to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now present a rebroadcast of The Will of God with Father Robert Young. Radio Maria now presents The Will of God with Father Robert Young, a program in which Father Robert takes a look at the writings of Luisa Picaretta. And now, here's Father Robert Young with The Will of God.
And good day and welcome, dear friends. A joy to be back with you. A joy to be back in the United States after a few weeks away. Let's begin with a prayer this morning in the will of God, as always, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we have just commemorated the 150th birthday of the little daughter of the divine will, Luisa Picaretta, we give thanks for her life and for the great inspiration you gave her to form in her the reign, the kingdom of your divine will on earth as in heaven. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful celebration we've just commemorated on this birthday of Luisa, 2015. Thank you, Lord, for the many who came from all parts of the earth to be with the Archbishop there, with the Cardinal and other bishops, to celebrate and give thanks for the great gift of this divine science, this way of coming to know and live and love always in the will of God. Heavenly Father, send us your Spirit, the Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus, to live and act in us, to circulate in our thoughts, our memory, our intellect, our will, that everything we do here on earth may be one with the will of God in heaven, one with the will of God in the humanity of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and one in the will of God with Mary, in whom that will reigns so perfectly. All these things we ask as we give thanks through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's ask Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, help us to know what it means to live always in the will of God. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. St. Hannibal de Francia, pray for us. Servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I am with you today in the studio here in Louisiana, where I usually broadcast from. And I just returned last night, so hopefully I will have the voice to share with you, as I promised in my emails, some of the happenings at this most beautiful conference that took place starting on Luisa's birthday, April 23rd, concluded on Sunday, April 26th, just the past week. So I'd like to start actually with just kind of an overview of the conference to give you a taste, a feel of how the conference was. And then I would like to go into a little more specifics with a letter from the Archbishop at the conclusion of the conference and some of the talks, some highlights of the talks that were given. There were over 650 participants from all over the world, 24 countries represented. The largest representation group was from South Korea. Over 150 people came from South Korea, where the divine will has really blossomed and flourished thanks to some missionaries there who have let the people know about it, taught it to them, and now it has really prospered there, thanks be to God. But in many other countries as well, we were about around 150 English-speaking, but from many different countries as well. The Cardinal Prefect Emeritus for the Congregation of the Causes of the Saints was also there, and he, in fact, opened the Mass on the birthday of Luisa in the church in which she was baptized, the Mother Church of Corrado, Italy. I think to probably the one thing that impressed me the most about the conference was not only the numbers who came, but also the fact that it was the most positive that we have seen in terms of Luisa's position now in the church. That is, the way in which she is regarded by the church and how she is seen now in the context of the whole history of salvation and in the church. The theme, the title for the conference was, in fact, Church in the Divine Will. Church in the Divine Will, which is the perfect title, I think, for where things are going today with Louisa's writings and her cause, which will come out more in the talks as I go through those, especially the final talk given by the Archbishop of Louisa's diocese. His name is Giovanni Battista Picchieri, and he gave the concluding summation, summary of the talk. And then at the Mass, we were given a letter from the Archbishop to be distributed to everyone in the world, to all the archbishops, to all the bishops, to all the clergy, the priests, the deacons, the laity throughout the world. And I'd like to start with that, if I will. But first, a little more of the overview. As I say, it was so very positive because what we see now is this very positive regard for Louisa in the church. The fact that there was a cardinal and bishops participating gave it, I think, a lot of credibility. We also heard that Louisa's cause is going very well. There is only one thing right now that's holding it up, and that is the final, not verdict on the content of her writings, because until now nothing has been found in her writings contrary to the faith. But the critical edition of her writings is what's going on now. And until that is finished, the Church, the Vatican, the Holy See does not give its imprimatur to writing. So until this official version, which is called a critical edition, comes out, we're not able to publish her writings. We're able to use what's already available. But because they want this critical edition in Italian, and then to be translated officially into other languages to be completed first. But in any case, it's hard to convey the tone, the atmosphere, the feeling of the conference that was so very, very positive, because we saw now the large numbers of people in the world who are coming to know about Louisa. Before the conference, I had the great privilege and blessing of being in Ireland for 10 days, every day almost in a different place, and then concluding with a retreat at the beautiful Shrine of Knock over the weekend. And there were so many people responding, so many new groups flourishing, multiplying in Ireland. It was just wonderful to see. I hadn't been back there in about 5 years, and the difference was truly amazing just in that country. And we see it happening, of course, in the U.S. and everywhere else. So it gives us a lot of encouragement, a lot of hope to know that we're on the right track here, that Louisa is well situated in the church. This is no fly-by-night kind of spirituality or something that's not enjoying the blessings of the church until now. And as Archbishop Picchieri said in his letter of November 2012, and he reiterated it in this conference, that anyone who says that there are things contrary to the faith in the writings of Louisa is actually a scandal to the rest of the church, because this is not true. There has not been found until now any error officially by the church. In fact, all of the censors until now have given their nihil obstat or non obstare to Louisa's writings. But it is a very long, slow process in the church, as the current present cardinal, prefect of the Congregation of the Saints, said to 35 priests of us gathered in Corrado in 2010. He said, if any of you have any plans on being canonized, he said, don't write anything. It's writing that takes so long to be approved by the church. And of course, anything that is written has to be examined and then given nihil obstat by the church before a cause can go forward. So that's what's happening with Louisa, because she wrote so extensively, 36 volumes, over 10,000 words, as well as many letters, other devotional works. As we know, it takes a lot of time for the church to come to its final judgment on the causes of the saints. In any case, let me read to you, this is the letter that I had the privilege of translating into English. I have the Italian in front of me, so be patient. I'm having to retranslate it here. But this is the letter at the conclusion of the Fourth International Conference on the Servant of God, Louisa Picaretta. Dear fellow brother bishops, dear priests, and my dearest brothers and sisters, I salute you, I greet you in the light and in the joy of the risen Lord. On this commemoration of the 150th anniversary of the birth of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, I have decided to convoke the Fourth International Conference under the title Church in the Divine Will. This took place from April 23rd to the 26th, 2015 in Corrado, Bari, with about 650 participants from all over the world, from Italy and Ireland, Belgium, Denmark, Spain, France, Germany, Poland, Canada, the United States, including the states of California, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Texas, Washington, Florida, Illinois, Massachusetts, Wisconsin, Louisiana, happened to be left out there, Mexico, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Colombia, Venezuela, Peru, Nigeria, the Philippines, and South Korea, Australia. In the varieties of culture and language, we were able to enjoy an intense experience of the church as a mystery of missionary communion. I listened with joy to the commitment that the participants at the conference have solemnly declared, wanting to commit themselves to being faithful to the charism of living in the divine will, according to the example of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, and this is in quotes, in the church, for the church, and with the church. And to intensify the communion of groups in the divine will among themselves, with their own proper bishops, with the local church, and with the parishes in which they find themselves and work. I wish to communicate that to let you know that the cause of beatification is proceeding positively, with the commitment already in act on the part of this archdiocese to continue and to elaborate, that is, to develop, the critical edition of the writings of the servant of God. I have recommended to all to deepen their lives and their teaching, their understanding of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, always in the light of Holy Scripture, tradition, and the magisterium of the Church, under the guidance and in obedience to their local bishops and priests, and always with the fervent participation and responsibility towards the sacraments. Once again, I appeal and make my appeal to the bishops of the diocese in which are present these groups of the divine will, to welcome them, to accompany them, and to sustain these groups and support them, helping them to put into practice concretely the spirituality of the divine will. I have the hope that the beautiful experience of church life that the Holy Spirit has helped us to experience in these days may continue to make us always, to make always more visible in the local church this beautiful family of the divine will, diffused in all the world. May Mary, Mother and Queen of the Divine Will, guide us and keep us always in her fiat. Giovan Battista Picchieri, Archbishop of Trani, Barletta, Biscilia, and Nazareth. Corrado, Italy, in the Church of the Sacred Heart on the 26th of April, 2015. Well, that is a wonderful summary. But not only is it a wonderful summary, it's going to be sent to all the bishops wherever the Divine Will groups are located. And they know where many of them are. If they do not know of your own diocese, then you can communicate that to the Association for Luisa Picaretta, which is the official instrument of the diocese for all of the cause and the writings of Luisa, all things that pertain to Luisa. So you can go to that website, the Association Luisa Picaretta, or there is a new website that is a link on the old one for all things to do with the conference, and it is called luisapicarettaofficial.org. So the spelling for that is L-U-I-S-A-P-I-C-C-A-R-R-E-T-A official, OFFICIAL, altogether.org. There you will find information about the conference, and hopefully soon they will be posting the talks in English and the various languages. I think they were translated into four languages. And those will be posted there that you might see them also. I hope to be able to send them to you as well, since I translated some of them. I hope to be able to send you especially the Archbishop's talks, the Cardinal's homily, and some of the other more beautiful and really inspiring talks given at the conference. So the Archbishop is very, very much determined to complete this cause. He has only a few years left in his tenure as Archbishop, and he says he would like to see this move a lot faster and farther along. And this is wonderful news. He said the Vatican, especially the Congregation of the Faith, is even more anxious and eager than he is to get it done, because they receive requests from all over the world for the writings of Louisa to be officially presented and published by the church. So they're asking the Archbishop to please hurry and finish this task. They would like to see it completed, and the Archbishop can only say, well, you know, we have limited funds here in having the writings done. The work that is going on now is on the critical edition is a scientific work, and we learned much more about it at the conference. It is not theological work in the technical sense of that word, theological. It's really a study of language, going through Louisa's writings, because as we all know, she had a first grade education. She, you know, had very little background in theology. She had enough education in church to receive her first communion. But her writings are highly theological, and it's one of the things that makes them a bit more challenging, both for us and for the church. But in any case, the writings now are being studied from a very scientific, linguistic perspective. The etymology of some of the words that Louisa used, what did they mean at the time? Punctuation has to be corrected. The first thing they had to do was scan all of the holographs, that is, the manuscripts, Louisa's own handwriting, and then have those transcribed into Italian that they could then work with. So it's a very slow, painstaking work, and very expensive work, because it must be done by experts in the field of the Italian language. So there are four experts now working on this critical edition. And until now, over the last 2 years, 3 years, excuse me, they have completed 8 of the 36 volumes. So that gives you some idea of how slow this work can be. And of course, these people don't work full time on one project. They're working on many projects at once. But in any case, very costly, very time-consuming work, because Louisa wrote so much. So it's very important that we pray for this critical edition to be completed. It's also very important that we support it financially. This is not just, another money appeal. It's simply to say, if we want the writings to be released and published, which they will be, if we want it to be done sooner, we need to help support the work. And so, again, through the website for Louisa Picaretta's Association in Corrado, be sure it's the right one, and the official instrument of the church, we can contribute to this wonderful cause. There's a lot of information that we received over 4 days, and I can't give it to you all in one day, in 1 hour, by any means. But I'll do my best to give you as much as I can. I'd also like to share with you the opening homily for the Mass of Louisa's birthday. It took place in the evening of the church in which Louisa was baptized. So as you all, many of you know, Louisa was baptized the day she was born. She was very frail, and in those days it was the custom, if there was any question about a child, infant's health when they're born, they would take them immediately to the parish church to be baptized. So this was true of Louisa as well. So I'd like to share with you Cardinal Jose Saraiva. He is the Prefect Emeritus for the Congregation of the Causes of the Saints at the Vatican, was the celebrant of this Mass. He was the one under whose authority the cause was opened and, of course, signed by Cardinal Ratzinger at the time, who allowed the cause to be opened, gave the non obstare for it to go forward, and then it took place under Cardinal Saraiva. So the Cardinal celebrated the beautiful Mass. It was a magnificent celebration, just people standing outside in the streets. The town of Corrado, of course, celebrating this great event as well, Louisa being a daughter of Corrado, a daughter of their city and their church. And the readings were special for the celebration, was from the letter to the Hebrews. And I'd like to pick up there what Cardinal Saraiva said. He said, in the second reading, it is well explained the reality of the priesthood of Christ himself, of which the baptized ones participate. That is, described according to the language of the antique cult of offering of animal victims in the temple. But for the author of the letter to the Hebrews, the offering of Christ is the only victim which, foreshadowed in the Judaical cult, gives value to all other offerings and replaces them forever. He says, it is specified, however, that the bloody sacrifice offered with the blood of animals is substituted now by the sacrifice of the will of Jesus to make of his body an offering to the Father, and by that will we have been sanctified. Hebrews 10:10. Jesus comes to earth, takes a body to do the will of the Father. And then he goes on to speak of how this whole life of Jesus, everything about him, was the fulfillment of the will of the Father. So he says, in the sacrifice of Jesus, he has sanctified us. The answer to this call to sanctify cannot be found in any other than a life united to the sacrifice of Jesus himself. In this case, the Catechism of the Catholic Church has a wonderful synthesis that I want to bring back to you. We ask our Father to unite, this is a quote from the Catechism, we ask our Father to unite our will to his Son's in order to fulfill his will, his plan of salvation for the life of the world. Again, this is from the Catechism, quoted by Cardinal Saraiva. We ask our Father to unite our will to his Son's in order to fulfill his will, his plan of salvation for the life of the world. We are radically incapable of this, the Catechism goes on. But united with Jesus and with the power of his Holy Spirit, we can surrender our will to him and decide to choose what his Son has always chosen, to do only what is pleasing to the Father. It's Catechism number 2825. He goes on, in Jesus, this is the Cardinal now, we also fulfill the design of salvation of the Father, supplicating, beseeching him for the coming of his kingdom, thy kingdom come. Matthew 6:10. He says, my dear ones, how could we not find in the life of the servant of God, Louisa Picaretta, all of these elements that we have said until now? And this is getting near the end of the homily for probably 10 minutes before this. He spoke all about the church and the will of God and how the will of God must always be accomplished through, with, and in the church. So he says, how could we not find in the life of Louisa Picaretta all of these elements we have said until now? He says, today we remember in this Mother Church of Corrado her birth and her rebirth through baptism, which happened 150 years ago. He said, I've been impressed by three elements which characterize the first day in the life of Louisa. The first one is related to a statement she made about the fact that her birth occurred upside down, or we would call it today a breech birth. Certainly, it is not an unimportant anatomic detail. But for Louisa, it is not a prodigious occurrence. Instead, she interprets it as an anticipated sign of the turn her life would take, contrary to the life of other people. Maybe she would read in this her offering as a victim when she would fall into her usual state, from which she could only recover through the blessing from the priest. From her state of complete dependence on others that lasted almost 70 years. In having frequently been the object of controversy and doubt. But I think it could be referred to all the suffering she could offer, united in mystical marriage to her Lord for the benefit of all humanity. Louisa always had her eyes fixed on the passion of Jesus since her tender years, making it the object of her daily meditation. It's not amazing that when St. Hannibal Maria de Francia knew about this, he was so much impressed that he asked her to be able to learn from her how to meditate on the passion of Jesus. From this desire was born the small but beautiful book, The Hours of the Passion, published for the first time exactly 100 years ago. The upside down of her birth is therefore a sign of the upside down of the passion of Jesus, her constant reference. Just a footnote here, I'm adding to the Cardinal's talk. Jesus also told Louisa that another reason she was born upside down, if you will, is because humanity was now upside down, and through her, she would bring humanity back to being right side up, that is, to being once again living in the kingdom of God's will. He says the second element is that precisely in this place, that is the Mother Church of Corrado, with the sacred washing, Louisa has received the gift of divine life. Here has been sown the precious seed of the very holiness of Jesus, given to her so that it would germinate in her life in conformity to the divine will of Jesus in her own daily acts, made of prayer, work, and so many encounters with visitors. Louisa has lived the ordinariness of life in the continuous tension of asking, even in the smallest of her acts, this presence of Jesus to give the Father the glory, the praise, and the adoration that all men and women should give him, and that Louisa has done always and for all. Very clear here again, another of my own comments, that the Cardinal is very aware. He's not only aware of Louisa's life, he's aware of the meaning and the depths of this way of life that she was blessed to share with the world. So he's saying, Louisa, by uniting the ordinariness of her life and her little acts, could then unite with Jesus in giving perfect love and glory and adoration to God on behalf of all. He says, the third element I'd like to pick up from the fact that the calendar, that is the 23rd of April 1865, marked the, in Latin, Dominica in Albis, which today, from St. John Paul II, would consecrate this Sunday as Divine Mercy Sunday. He says, this fact always seems to me like a sign anticipating what Louisa's life would be about. Another beautiful indication that, you know, Louisa's born on Divine Mercy Sunday, 1865. Of course, it wasn't Mercy Sunday yet, but it would be later by the decree of John Paul II. But what he's saying is that Louisa's whole life was about mercy. He says, as I have written in the foreword to the first documented biography of the servant of God, titled The Son of My Will, by the way, another comment, is now being published, is being edited and printed in English, published is correct as well, by Paulus Press here in the United States, and it will be available hopefully sometime this summer. So thanks be to God. This is an official biography documented and actually been commissioned by the church. The Vatican requested it. The diocese, the association, had it published first in Italian by an Italian woman, Maria Rosaria Del Genio. It's called The Son, S-U-N, of My Will, soon to be released in English and then also soon in Spanish. It says, Pope Francis reminds us that we are living through a time of mercy. He said, I commented on this regard that the profound testimony of Luisa Picaretta shows us this very typical dynamic of God's mercy that attracts and draws people to the most profound unity, union with Him, in order to transform the heart into a fountain of gushing waters for the benefit of all. He says, living in that way, even the smallest act of our life participates in the dynamism of mercy, concurring with Jesus, doing everything with Him and bringing His light to all hearts, and to God the Father the praise and adoration that everyone should give Him. This small little lady of southern Italy, who has known the alternation of various epidemics, two world wars, has collected so many tears due to the hard conditions of the life of her contemporaries, had her own heart transformed into a place totally inhabited by God. Those who met her have felt themselves attracted by the reality of heaven and driven to live a holy life themselves, totally spent in the ordinary occupations under the model of the family of Nazareth. It is properly in the daily life that God's mercy looks upon men in order to restore them to the innocence of Eden, to a life that is weaved with joy, to an existence guided by the certainty of being beloved children. Your Excellency, these are his final comments to the Archbishop, shepherds of this archdiocese, bishops, presbyters, deacons present, all dear religious men and women, dear laymen and laywomen. It is really a great joy for me to be able to live with you this anniversary in a worldwide embrace due to the variety of all the places you come from. It is my wish that this Congress will signal for all of us a milestone in your journey to sanctity and the desire to become always more and more missionaries of that fiat which has brought heaven on earth and earth into heaven. May the Virgin Mary, our beloved protectress, take us throughout the paths of time and keep us always in her heart. Those were the concluding words of the homily on the birthday of Luisa, the 150th birthday in the Mother Church of Corrado on April 23rd, 2015, by Cardinal Prefect Emeritus for the Congregation of the Causes of the Saints, Cardinal Jose Saraiva. Well, that is a beautiful, and that's only, dear friends, a small part of his marvelous homily. I do hope and pray we'll get it soon on the internet, and if we're not able to get it through the website, I will then be sure that it's perhaps we can put it on my website and mail it to you with email as well. Well, I'm going to take a short little musical interlude. Be happy to share with you any more information. Continue with more news from the Fourth International Congress of Luisa Picaretta Church in the Divine Will.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to our rebroadcast of The Will of God with Father Robert Young.
And Father Robert, we have a caller this morning. We have Judy calling from Lafayette, Louisiana.
Hi, good morning, Judy.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Do you have a question or a comment?
I have a comment. I have something to share.
Uh-huh.
In September of last year, I was diagnosed with lymphoma. It was a rare form, and they recommended that I go to MD Anderson to get treatment there in Houston. And so God put things into place so I couldn't say no to those things that he put in place. So I went into Houston and got treatment. I left my family, my husband and my children and my friends here. And my I went to live with my sister who and her husband who opened their doors to me. It was wonderful. But I really felt alone there spiritually. My spiritual director was here and in the Diocese of Lafayette, and so I had little contact with him, and just spiritually I felt in the desert. And I prayed to Luisa Picaretta for me to walk in God's will, because as best I could, I didn't know what it was. There were times I fell flat on my face,
mm-hmm.
you know, but there were times that I was able to walk in his will, and I know, I pray to her, and I know, you know that you know that you know.
That's right.
That she helped me do that. You know, that I didn't know what the right thing to do was, but I just trusted that, you know, that God would help me, and I know she was there praying for me too.
Oh, thank you, Judy, for that beautiful testimony. And you know, that really, that means so much, because this is not just some theory or, you know, spirituality that doesn't have an effect in our lives. It's got to really be there, as you say, something we walk in, something we live every day in the most ordinary and sometimes the most difficult and challenging situations of life. It came up, that whole theme that you're speaking of came up so often during this conference from personal testimonies. In fact, the woman who had a miraculous healing, whose miracle is going to the causes of the saints, was in a coma and had an experience. She knew, I mean, she could tell us what was going on in the coma. She gave a talk at the conference and
wow,
and was saying how she, you know, she really experienced the healing when they brought the relic over her. She came out of the coma and she was, I mean, the doctors were saying, you can prepare for the funeral. She was not going to make it. And she came out of the coma and she's doing well now. And she had a kidney transplant after that because she needed a kidney. And the priest who prayed with the relic over her gave her the kidney. So it was a fascinating, a marvelous story. And anyway, you just reminded me of that and all of the ways that, you know, certainly God and his mercy and his loving compassion for us works in many ways, but he works through the intercession of these saints, as he does through all of us. So you're going to, you know, to God through Louisa by asking her to help you and to pray for you, I am sure is going to bear tremendous healing and fruit. And I promise you, I'll be keeping you in my prayers as well. And I'm sure many of our listeners are going to do that. Life is not easy. It's a participation, a sharing in the passion of Jesus much of the time. But what so many have found is that the will of God is what gives it meaning. It gives it a purpose. You know, Jesus came to suffer for the will of the Father. Mm-hmm. And he asks us to do that as well, and he brings us through it. And I'm so grateful for your call and grateful for your faith and your testimony with us today. I'll continue to pray for you and let us know how you're doing.
I will. And can I have, I'd like to give another intention, Father, if I could.
Certainly.
We have someone who lives on our property, who works at our business on our property, and who introduced the occult tarot cards to my child, to my son.
Oh dear!
And I really, really, really need pray. If you could pray for that intention to, I don't want anything on our property that's not of God.
Absolutely.
And I'm really having a hard time trusting God on
this. Yeah. Well, we do put our trust in God. His will be accomplished, and we have to also go against, you know, things that are not the will of God. So we pray that you will have the courage and strength to do that and to protect your family. That's and to let it be known that that's not acceptable. So
yes,
we pray in God's holy will for your family, for all the protection through the intercession of Louisa Picaretta, for deliverance from any harm brought on by this occult. And we pray for deliverance in the name of Jesus by his precious blood through the will of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
All right, Judy. God bless you.
God bless y'all over there.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, I'll go on now with a little bit more from the conference. This is actually, I'm going to go from the first homily of the celebration, Louisa's birthday by the Cardinal, to the conclusion, the concluding talk, and I won't be able to cover all of it. It was quite long. By the Archbishop of Louisa's diocese. You might say, well, why are you just focusing on, you know, the prelates? Well, because they represent the church, and they represent in many ways how the church regards Louisa. So from the Cardinal Prefect Emeritus of the Congregation of the Saints, we have the Archbishop of Louisa's diocese, who's been a very instrumental and essential part of bringing Louisa more into the light of the church and helping the church to understand and to appreciate the great gift and value she is to the church. So again, the theme of the conference is the one he chose, Church and the Divine Will. And he spoke so beautifully about the fraternity of the church and the joy of being together as people, as members of Christ's body in the church. And he says, for Jesus, fraternity sinks its roots into the will of God. For Jesus says, whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven is my brother, my sister and a mother to me, Matthew 12:50. He says, Jesus shares his sonship with us, rendering us adopted children. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. By him we cry, Abba, Father. The Lord makes us his brothers and sisters, to live not as slaves, but to live as brothers and sisters, no longer as strangers. He says, the first enemy of this fraternity is always pride. Not by chance is Satan called the devil, that is, he who divides. When our supposed truths become the only truth, that is, our own version of the truth, our eyes become veiled unto blindness. A sense of dark pessimism locks us into ourselves, and we become convinced there can only be a general destruction in the future. Our company is then reduced to a small circle of few who think as we do. And then the joy of being together gives place to fear of being attacked. And this captivating beauty of fraternity is substituted by a discriminating selectiveness, a tenderness, and tenderness by the supremacy of the leader who decides for everyone. But where did the will of the Celestial Father end up if in a group, for example, one is not always ready to welcome others? If one is not capable of forgiving 70 times 7, if one cannot give it all unto losing one's own life, of whose Father are we doing the will? Would it not, perhaps, be the Father of lies? And here, because he is placing so much essential importance on this idea of fraternity, as our Holy Father, Pope Francis, does over and over again, of what it means to be church, he is very concerned, and he said this at other times, about a certain elitism in this spirituality of the divine will, a certain exclusivity where one has to be of a certain caliber or quality or whatever it may be in order to participate in a group of the divine will. And he says this only causes division and conflict and never unity. Because we're all aware of how division and conflict happen so easily in our lives here on earth, the bishop is asking that we try and strive as best we can to bring unity and peace to wherever we are, of course, not only to divine will groups, but especially in those places where the will of God is learned and lived, because it is the will of God that we be one. And he says, if that's not happening, then whose will is reigning there? So he says, to receive Mary means to take her into our lives. This becoming identified with the Celestial Mother communicates to us the gift of somehow being able to generate Jesus, her son. You know, as Jesus would say to Louisa many times, you are my mother as well. We're all mothers of Christ. It's Jesus himself, we just heard, if we do the will of the Father. If the will of the Father is carried out, is lived, you know, is operating in us, we're all the mothers of Jesus, as Mary is. And then he has this quote from the Council. The Second Vatican Council was the primary, actually secondary source after Scripture that was used. We heard more of the Council almost than anything else. Why? Because if we truly take to heart what Louisa was given, what she's sharing with us, it is very much at the heart of also what the Second Vatican Council is all about, which is baptismal priesthood. As Archbishop Michele Secca from the, not Archbishop, but Bishop of Foggia, Italy, explained so well as other speakers, that the Second Vatican Council was really a beautiful summary in many ways of what the divine will is all about. These are not separate entities. They're not separate ways of understanding and living the faith. So he says that we have to appreciate what the council says. This is from Lumen Gentium. He says, seeking after the glory of Christ, the church becomes more like her exalted model and continually progresses in faith, hope, and charity, seeking and doing the will of God in all things. Hence the church in her apostolic work also justly looks to her who conceived of the Holy Spirit, brought forth Christ, who was born of the Virgin, that through the church he may be born and may increase in the hearts of the faithful. The Virgin Mary, in her own life, lived an example of that maternal love by which it behooves that all should be animated who cooperate in the apostolic mission of the church for the regeneration of all mankind. So again, Mary is not only the model of contemplation, she's also a model of the missionary church. And this was another very, very crucial theme of this conference. We are not only living a spirituality, we are living a missionary way of being in the world as members of Christ's body. And we might say, well, I don't have a mission, you know, to necessarily feed people or house people. Some of us might be confined to our beds or our homes, like Louisa. But to be a missionary, you know, like St. Therese of Lisieux, never left her convent, doesn't mean necessarily that we're out doing the works of a missionary externally, but it means that interiorly, our hearts united with Jesus and Mary are working and operating and praying and sacrificing and suffering for the good of all people and for the coming of the kingdom to earth and for the salvation of all mankind. So this is all caught up in very much in the heart of the Second Vatican Council, but it's also beautifully expressed in Louisa, who died 20 years before the council was concluded. So thanks be to God, we have in Louisa this very beautiful gift to the church. And we just thank God for her and for all the ways that her life is such a beautiful example and that we're learning from her writings. Well, with that, dear friends, I'll need to sign off, and I thank you for joining me today. I will be sharing more about the conference as we go on, but next week we'll return to Volume 17, where we left off a few weeks ago, and continue with our study of the Book of Heaven. But throughout, I'll be sharing more and more of some of the things that we all learned and we're happy to experience at the conference. So thanks for being with us, and may Almighty God bless you and keep you always in the heaven of His will, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in for The Will of God with Father Robert Young. Be sure to tune in again next week for another episode. You're tuned to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We thank you for joining us for this, our rebroadcast of The Will of God with Father Robert Young.